Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello, creepies, and welcome to Middle-Aged Mini 234. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we're in Middle-Aged and Creeped Out. What's going on, guys?
You know what song was going through my head?
What?
Hello, creepies, my old friends. I don't know why I've come to creep with you again. I think we had, I don't know why that came, where that came from, what file in my head that spilled out of.
Hello, creepies,
my old friend. Come to creep with you again. That's right.
Interesting.
Sound of silence coming out of my brain.
You never know what's in his head.
It answers a lot of questions.
That's right. That's right. It is not drug-induced, I can tell you that.
Never know what's going on.
Maybe it should be, right?
Our last mini of 2025.
That's right. But when it drops, we'll be into 2026, yeah?
Yeah.
It'll be the first mini of 2026.
It is, right?
The last
but
recording.
But we're recording.
That's, yeah. That's what I said.
No, you're right, though. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So, yeah, our last mini recording.
We're having a good night. Lots of talking.
Yeah, lots of good talk.
We rarely talk.
No, we don't.
It's very rare.
No.
We just look at each other. We're quiet between
episodes.
Until the red light goes on.
Sit here in silence. You guys hear the story about the dog that brings bone back?
You're still on about that one, huh?
If somebody was paying attention, see.
The green mist under the door.
Yeah.
Pay attention, right.
They're a green mist.
Surely.
We all do it.
That's right. I do it the most, though.
Well, that was a good way to end 2025.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that's right. Goodbye, 2025.
Saying, I already said that.
Pish posh.
So, Mini 234. Wow. Mm-hmm.
There it is.
In the 230s. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you just want to get to it?
Topic? This one's mine, technically. It's Pete Peterson's, though. He sent this to me a few months back.
Recommendation.
It is the Santa Campagna. And if interested, please go check out our show notes for the source links we used for this topic.
All righty.
That's right. Hmm. It's funny. What we were talking about this because I brought this up, and so we talked about it a little bit in our freestyle. And what did you say, Nate? You were like, it's like Christopher Columbus's, you know, ships, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Campagna.
It does sound like that.
It kind of is.
It
right?
does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
La Santa Campagna is a prominent urban legend in Galicia, northwest Iberia, describing a spectral procession of hooded, white-cloaked figures believed to be souls in purgatory or damned spirits wandering the earth at night. Scary. So these guys, I think it's just a prayer group. Honestly, I think they're just going around trying to do what's right. Spook you out just a little bit, but they're trying to bring you into the fold.
It's creepy.
Right? These are good people, right?
Yeah, it's the procession of the dead.
Oh,
it is said to
maybe not
signify impending death.
Oh, dope. So,
and is led by a living person who is cursed to walk through the night.
Uh-oh. So that's what I understand is if you see this at night, you need to run the other way because if you end up in this procession, you will be in this procession for eternity doing the same crazy stuff that they're doing.
The procession is often accompanied by a strong aroma of melted wax, which is believed to warn those nearby of the presence of death.
So I'm not going to. So you and I probably aren't going to be forewarned then. Like,
no, you won't be able to
smell it.
Yeah. Like,
I will. I can smell it.
What kind of party is this?
This looks like fun. What's going on, dog?
Now, this site I'm reading says Santa Campagna occurs in late October in the northern region of Spain, normally coinciding with Halloween.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, and it says that. If you are walking the Camino de Santiago at this time of year, you may well come across it. They wear hooded cloaks. I always like the word cloak. I don't have a cloak,
but you need one, right?
I need a cloak.
We all need one.
Anytime you can wear a cloak, you know, you're somebody.
I'm chuckling because I'm reading. One can perform various protective rituals. Such as drawing a circle with chalk or salt. Mm-hmm. I've heard of that.
Okay.
Lying face down.
Okay.
I don't works see for you.
You can't hear me. I can't see you.
And whatever. Best of all, or running away.
Run away. Like Monty Python style, right? Run away. So what's interesting is the living person that's leading it is not aware that they're leading it. So this says the procession is led by a living person, often unaware of their role, who is compelled by supernatural forces to carry a large cross and a cauldron of holy water, moving silently through rural roads and crossroads, particularly around midnight. Yeah, you know, that's when all the fun stuff happens at midnight, right?
Hey, want to join my gang?
Hey, you guys, right? Witnesses report a strong smell of burning wax, like you said, preceding the apparition, and the group is sometimes accompanied by glowing orbs or a faint luminescent fog, just for effect, right? Somebody's got a fog machine, you know that. Encountering the Santa Campagna is considered a dire omen, like you said, Nate, often signaling the imminent death of the witness or someone close to them. To avoid being cursed, locals traditionally use protective measures. You said the circle drawing. Making a figa gesture, I think that's the middle finger, or fleeing the scene. I don't know what figa is. I wonder what that means.
So it's what you is that with the cross? Your pudding?
Yeah.
Figa pudding.
That's what I was going to say.
Figgy pudding.
Figa Newtons.
The curse can only be broken by passing the cross and the cauldron to another unsuspecting person, transferring the burden and potentially leading to the demise if not passed on. While modern sightings are rare, the legend remains a powerful part of Galician folklore, especially during All Souls Day and Halloween, like you said.
Hey,
crazy.
I need to use the bathroom. Can you hold these for a second for
exactly
me?
Exactly right. Sucker.
Yeah.
Hey, not it.
Why are you running? The bathroom's over here.
Tag, you're it, right? That's the worst form of tag ever.
Coming off of that, Sean, it says the procession is usually led by a living person. Okay, that helps. Normally a local parishioner. It says they are cursed and do not know what they are doing. Like you said, they're usually, you know. But it says, I love this, their appearance is normally extremely pale and ghastly looking. They are usually seen holding a cross or a cauldron of holy water. The parishioner, though, is not allowed to turn around and see the dead. And the only way to release themselves is to find someone else to take their place or they die. And if they do not find someone to replace them, they will get sick from the task.
Yikes.
So you're kind of screwed either way.
Either way. Hmm. This is not a fun thing. It's also called the Holy Company. Mm. All Souls Procession, the Gustia, whatever that means, Asda Nuti, I don't think I'm saying that right. The Night Ones, I like that one. And the Estrangia, or Estrantiga, something like it. It says there's no information about how it was founded. There's this says the headquarters is Spain. Okay. The commanders are, there's no named commanders, agents, they're unknown. Their powers are ghostly abilities and supernatural abilities. Their goal is to collect souls, and their crimes are usage of dark magic, grand theft, animarium, soul theft, basically. So, yeah, they're just stealing souls. That's all they got. The Night Ones. I like that.
The says the dead walk behind the leader, usually in two rows. Like I said, dressed in cloaks, barefoot, and holding candles. Two rows. Okay.
So it says that they often.
I mean, they're organized. It sounds
that's
like
right. They got to go on together. Yeah, right. They're forming their own political party one of these days. Often seen as a procession of undead figures holding candles, this group is led by a single living parishioner, usually seen holding a large cross, cauldron filled with holy water. He's this man led by supernatural means to lead the La Santa Campagna every night. So can you imagine that? It gets a little tiring every night. Said the leader is often under a trance during their time as a leader. And once their work is done, they reawake in their beds, tired and without the memories of the night's events. This curse can be given to others, like we said before, during their nightly walks. And this curse must be given lest the current leader wither and perish, with the curse passing to another without their knowledge and at random. To avoid the effects, one must draw Solomon. So that circle is called Solomon's Circle. As soon as they see the group with chalk before entering the circle, either standing up or lying down, put a black cat in their path or use divine hand signals. Still got to figure out what that fig is. It doesn't say anything about lying down, face down, though, like you said. Although, all right, I'm looking up figa. I got to look it up. What do you think it is? Figure. signal.
Says not everybody is able to see the procession, too.
Oh.
Only the people who is going to die soon, in less than a year, or people who was... I don't know why it's kind of terrible terribly written. People who was wrongly baptized with oil of the dead instead of holy water are able to see them.
Figure.
Oh, they got my nose.
Oh, yeah. I'll read it for, oh,
that's what it looks like. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. You read that, and then I'll tell.
Other people can only feel its presence, and some versions say that people are only able to see the lights of the candles. The company can appear for some reasons. It can appear for claim the soul of somebody who is going to die soon, to punish a person for a bad action it has done. If this action is really bad, this person can be punished by being forced to lead the procession or to announce to somebody the death of an acquaintance. No, there you go. Just a little added to it.
So this is, I have seen this before, and I thought this was a form of the middle finger, but it says the fig sign is a mildly obscene gesture that uses a thumb wedge in between two fingers. The gesture is most commonly used to ward off the evil eye, insult someone, or deny a request. It has been used at least since the Roman age in Southern Europe and parts of the Mediterranean region, including Turkish culture, Asian, South African, Slavic, Northeastern, all kinds, Czech, Liberia. Among early Christians, it was known as the manus obscenia, or obscene hand. In ancient Rome, the fig sign was made by paterfamilias to warn off evil spirits of the dead as part of the Lemuria ritual. Isn't that wild, though? That's kind of cool. I've never heard any of this stuff. The ancient Greeks wore amulets of the gesture around the neck to protect from the evil eye and also used the gesture in artwork. What they considered an overtly sexual gesture was expected to distract evil spirits from causing harm. So look at this over here. Don't look over there. Wow. That's pretty wild.
Avoiding the curse is very interesting.
It is.
It says lie down and play dead.
Yeah, which is what Nate's saying.
Yeah.
lay down and play dead.
Yeah. Like, it said you can lay down and it said they won't notice you, but they'll just walk. Walk over you. Open your arms, forming a cross with your body, and pronounce Jesus Christ before they try to give you the cross. When the one who has the cross tries to give you the cross, it will say, Te taka et ti. It's your turn, is what that means. And then you have to respond, Cruz ya tengo, cross I already have got, before taking the cross. He or she will not be able to pass it if you respond that way. And then it says, have your arms idly or carrying something with both hands, some rocks, sticks, or whatever you can find, and have in your pocket some beetle horns and garlic. What do you think about that?
Beetle horns. Yeah.
I just happen to have
fresh out of them, but you have some?
Very interesting. Very specific.
I do know that looking at videos, trying to look at videos, I think all but one little snippet, they're in Spanish, and so I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying. This is where it would be really handy to be able to understand Spanish.
Yeah, it says La Santa Compañía anchors itself in the psyche of the community, invoking a shared fear of death and the afterlife. This collective belief can influence your behavior, causing you to avoid certain places or situations deemed unlucky or haunted, thus guiding social interactions and community dynamics. The fear surrounding this ghostly procession functions as a form of social regulation, reinforcing shared values within society.
Interesting.
It's that little paragraph in like modern takes of the stories, what it does to the community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scares the crap out of people, right?
I want to know how Pete came across this.
I don't know. We'll have to ask him. We could ask him the other night, but I don't know. I don't even think I told him that we were going to do this, but surprise! Happy New Year. This is interesting because there are other like talks of processionals like this. The origin of this legend is not known for certain. There are many similar tales throughout Europe, such as that of the wild hunt of the Norse god Odin, the Breton processions of the dead, or the tale of Awan dogs, a breed of spectral dogs that go hunting with the dead. Mentions of the Santa Compañía can be found in writings from the 11th and 12th centuries. Also known as Puera, Estardida, Campania, or all these things that I can't pronounce. The story goes in goes that the Santa Campania is a parade of grieving souls dressed in, this as black robes, that travel the roads and villages during the night, raising a dense fog in their wake. That is so creepy.
That is creepy.
That is wild. It makes me think of, so we've talked about this before, not quite, but Lord of the Rings, the ring wraiths, you know, how they're just like these creepy, and they don't quite go around in, you know, little processionals, but kind of, you know, they race around and do weird stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's what it makes me think of. It's just weird. Scary.
Yeah, this is interesting. It's a creepy, weird.
It's right up Pete's alley, right? No, it's
kidding. Yeah, that's right, who I was right talking up about. Our I was alley, talking right? about Pete. Exactly. Mm-hmm. He's creepy and weird. No, I'm kidding you, Pete. Yeah, it was very, very interesting. It's very, very specific on, you know, what's going on with this Santa Campania.
That's right. I don't think we want to meet them.
Nope, I'm running the other way.
No, or laying down and playing
laying
dead.
Down, yeah, I'm laying playing down. Dead. Mm-hmm.
You don't see me.
Or draw a circle and a cross and jump in it before that. Yeah.
Always have some chalk or salt with you.
Or beetle horns and garlic. Crazy. Just never heard of this. Yeah. What else we got on it?
And take their nose.
Oh, take their nose.
The fig signal or figure or whatever. That's funny, though. Like
that is very funny.
I guess I've seen it. Yeah, that goes... You want to look into the fig signal. There's a lot of information on that, and it gets a little bit risque and fun, but we won't go into that.
Yeah.
We like fun, but it gets a little too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the pictures, there are so many different pictures of the depictions of what people see or have seen or what it looks like, and it is creepy. Total creepy.
Yeah. It's something I don't want to come across, but... It kind of fits the, you know, since it's around Halloween.
Yeah.
Kind of fits that time period of the year.
Oh, yeah.
I can totally sort of that. Fits into the Hispanic Day of the Dead and all that kind of stuff, too.
Día de los Muertos.
Yeah.
I just like to say it that way.
You're like, yeah.
I'm lucky I didn't stumble all over that, by the way.
That's pretty good.
It does not come out.
Good job.
Spanish does not come out of my mouth very easily. No, English doesn't either. But
I thought Antonio Banderas was
Hey!
Antonio. He's one of my favorite actors. Uh-huh. He hasn't been anything in a while. Antonio Banderas. Well, anything else we got before we wrap this up?
Like I said, so. We don't want to run into him. We're not buddies with these guys.
All right.
Speaking of Antonio Banderas, he was in the...
No, fifth. I was going to say, don't say he died.
No, he didn't die. I hope not.
Don't kill him off.
You know, he was in the fifth Indiana Jones, so that's a couple years ago, but he played a really good part in that, by the way. And he was... Oh. And I thought, man, I miss him. So he is an older gentleman now, and he played an older gentleman, but he was fantastic.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite actors.
And he's Puss from Puss in Boots, right?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I love that, you know, like the sad face.
The big eyes.
The big eyes, mm-hmm. Tearful. Yeah, it's like... Don't make me pull out my cute face, yeah.
I forgot about that.
Puss in Boots, that's so funny.
All right, well, let's let Nate help us out.
Don't flood this place with figs. And that's a wrap.
Well, I would agree. I have a hankering for Fig Newtons, though.
That's right.
You like Fig Newtons? You like
I do, yeah.
Because it's very...
I do.
Like some people hate them or you like them.
Yeah, I don't mind them.
I grew up on Fig Newtons.
I like them.
Mm-hmm. I always say you're darn tootin'. I like Fig Newton.
That's right.
Well, thanks, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our Middle-Aged Mini 234 and our discussion on the Santa Campania. So until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Later.
See ya.